Good morning. I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the one whom, in whose presence we were, we came. Thank you for leading us in that time of worship, worship team. This morning I want to call, before I go into the sermon, I want to call attention to an announcement in your bulletin. 500 years ago, on January 21st, a group of brave men and women gathered in a house in Zurich, Switzerland. The group discussed the call to follow Jesus and then rebaptized each other on their confession of faith. Most of them paid for this choice with their lives. But today, their vision lives on in the Amish, Mennonite, and other Anabaptist churches. In commemoration of the 500th anniversary of this event, we invite you to the Amish Mennonite Heritage Center for a day of remembrance. They will be giving free tours there on the top of the hour from 10 to 3. So this is a good opportunity to go and take this in and be inspired. What we hold today, the power of their influence has reached down through the millenniums to us today, and I believe it will stir within us a deep gratitude for their decisions and choices. It cost blood, and if you can, take that in. I don't know if it was a year or so ago I spoke on prayer, on the power of prayer. Today I want to talk again about prayer, but in a different aspect of prayer than what we focused on at that time. I want to speak about the intercessor, the power of intercessory prayer. God has invited us so graciously to come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we can find help and mercy in time of need. What an invitation! And I wonder if often, I'm afraid, sometimes my prayer to God looks a little bit like an entitled American sitting at a restaurant, and I deserve to be served. So if I want something, I'll snap my fingers and God will be at my attention. I want another serving of this or that. Come refill my coffee. By the way, make it a double shot and bring it in a glass mug, if you will. Please. At least we added please. Our entitlement, when we come to God, when I come to God, how do I come to Him? Does my prayer look a little bit like that to Him sometimes? The antithesis of that is the intercessor. And I'm going to read what I read this from what Paul Baelius wrote. He says about an intercessor. An intercessor is one who stands in the gap between God and others on their behalf. What our churches need in this day are more intercessors. We have plenty of people who are willing to do work before man, but few that are willing to do work before the Lord. He goes on to say, prophets may be the mouth of God, missionaries may be His feet, but intercessors are His heart. Interesting perspective. Kneeling in intercessory prayer is the higher ministry. And I conclude with his quote, when you commit to a life of isolated intercession, unseen before men, you will find kneeling next to you the Lord Jesus who intercedes for the saints with you. A picture of intimacy. And we have, each one of us has an intercessor. And it's the same one. It's Jesus. Romans 8:34 says, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So if you find yourself today experiencing a place with God in His kingdom, you have been interceded for. And if you are not there yet, you are being interceded for as well by Jesus, our intercessor. I'd like to look at, I'd like to pull back the curtain, if you will, and look at the effect, the powerful effect that the intercessor had in a story in the scripture. In Exodus 32 is where we're going to go. And looking at Moses, the intercessor, I'm sure you think of different intercessors in history and recorded in Scripture. But I want to look at Moses, the intercessor, and how that he had, out of a heart of passionate love and care for the people of God that he was called to lead, to serve, how that he interceded for them, and what difference did it make? In Exodus 32, we're going to read a few verses starting in verse 7 through 14. But the context of this conversation between God and Moses is after Moses was in the presence of God. The Israelites, if you remember, were at the base of the mountain, and Moses hadn't returned for a period of time. So they got impatient, made a golden calf, an image which was reflective, which was very pagan practice, which God had commanded them to not do. Now, could we give them a little grace? No, not really. They had just been delivered miraculously by God parting the waters through the Red Sea and delivering them from 400 years of bondage to Egypt. They had plundered the Egyptians and had gotten all their wealth, their gold and silver and supplies. God had provided miraculously food for them in the desert and water. And yet, this period of time that Moses was with God in the mountain, they already forgot what God did. I'm sure they didn't forget, but they forgot. Okay? And they turned to pagan practices. And they made this image and this golden calf, and Aaron had said, "This, O people, is the God that brought you out of Egypt." What a blasphemous denial of who God is and what God has done for them. It brings us to verse 7. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, leave me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. Moses' passionate plea, this was not one of entitlement. Moses was not coming to God in a way that you owe me. I'm entitled. It was not an arrogant, narcissistic demand from God, but it was a humble cry. In fact, he was willing to sacrifice his own place in the book of life. The end of the chapter says in verse 31, so Moses returned to the Lord and said, Alas, this people has sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. But the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now go lead the people to the place about which I have spoken to you, and my angel will go before you. The passionate cry of Moses was heard by God, and God relented. I find this hard to understand. Moses did not manipulate God. He pled with God. He interceded for the people. And he cried out to God, and instead of God answering like he could have, by saying, but Moses, these are the people who are supposed to reflect my character. These are the ones that I called to draw people, the pagan nations, to myself. And instead of doing that, they have stooped to the practices of the pagans, and they are engaging in the same practices. They are not a help to me. In fact, they're a liability to me and a grievance. Instead, it says that in verse 14, and the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. There's a commentary, David, I believe, writes in Psalm 106 about that event. And he says that they exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. He's referring back to many, many years earlier of the account that we just read. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous things in the land, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. That's powerful. That is really, really powerful, that one man's intercession changed history. God heard. I can't explain it because I don't understand it. Maybe you do, I don't. But intercessory prayer, it's different even than supplication and requests. Often we pray for a need. We pray for something that we care about. Intercessory prayer is even deeper. In Ezekiel now, we're going to look at another story, a happening. in Ezekiel chapter 22. In verse 30, the chapter highlights, God is highlighting why, what was happening. He was looking, so Israel had again come in to a place of violence and gross immorality and injustice. Things R and X-rated to speak about or read about. It was awful. And God says in Exodus 22, verse 30, I'll read 29 as well. The people of the land have practiced extortion and committed robbery. That were the softer crimes they'd committed. They have oppressed the poor and needy and have extorted from the sojourner without justice. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, that's why I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have returned their way upon their heads, declares the Lord. He was looking for someone to stand in the gap. He easily could have spared this judgment and stayed the disaster, kept the disaster from happening. And again, I don't understand God's ways, but we are told that there was no one to intercede for them. Had there been a Moses, had there been someone to stand in the gap, then judgment could have been stopped. James 5, verse 16 says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person has great power. We could ask, well, would God not have destroyed the people if Moses hadn't interceded for them? God says that he would have. Would God not have destroyed them later if they would have had an intercessor? God says he wouldn't have. These things are deep mysteries for us to understand. This power of prayer. But I wanted to show us these two stories, and I have another one that a more modern day story that I want to share with us in later here. But I want to inspire us to the ministry of intercession, and what does that look like? And some of you are prayer intercessors, I'm sure. I would say, I don't want to put a number on. I would prefer you don't ask me how much time I spend in intercessory prayer. But I would invite you to challenge me to join you in intercessory prayer. And I think of people in my life, especially one that has been a most powerful intercessor, and that's my mother. She would cry out to God, she would intercede, and often for me, for her wayward son, and laying burdens on her heart that she would, once I found her crying in prayer, and I'm sure it wasn't the only time that she would cry out to God, literally crying tears to God of intercession, crying out on the needs of those that she loved. I think of I have a friend who has a card, index card, and on that he has written prayer needs, and while he goes about his day or on his walk or in his jog, he will look at those and pray for those. every day. And at one point I was on that list and very much appreciated. I have a friend that I don't even have much contact with him. I may have shared that here previously, but after not seeing him for I don't know how many years and not having much contact with him for 10 years, he told me one time that he was praying for me. He tries to pray for us and our children by name every day. Wow. Wow, just wow. And I don't know how often God delivered us because there was an intercessor, someone praying to God on our behalf. Who would we intercede? On whose behalf would we intercede to God for? You can think of a lot of things that I'm not thinking about. But there are intercessory needs, and if you would like to be an intercessor, commit to intercessory prayer. I listed some points, and I would like to share a few of those. We can certainly pray for our nation. Intercede to God on behalf of those that are in bondage, that are being trafficked, that are being locked up, they're in slavery. That is rampant, not just in the world, but also in our nation. And I had to think, you know, in the state of our culture and society where we are now, God, if you remember, how many of you are, let me see, in 2001, that would have been 24 years ago, how many of you are 24 years old and younger? 24 years old and younger, would you please raise your hands really high? Raise them really high so we can get a good consensus. No, Tim, you're older than that. Don't raise your hand. Raise your hands high for all to see. Everyone 24 years old and under. Anyone want to guess what percentage we are? You are? So you weren't born, most of you weren't born when the Twin Towers fell. When the nation was attacked. And we were crying out to God. We were in crisis, a nation in crisis. We live in this nation. So what will happen? Will this be a wake-up call for America to turn our hearts and faces back towards God? I don't think any of us that are, let's say, 40 years old and older would have dreamed or imagined that culture would be in our society what you 24 and 10-year and 5-year-olds are seeing today. How that there has been immoral decay and decline in our culture has become more godless. Now, among that, thank God there have been revivals throughout the land and throughout individuals and throughout churches. But some of the things that we are facing, some of the things that you are facing as 20-year-olds, we wouldn't have imagined that you have to face that. Our nation can be an intercessory point. Prayer point. The abortion crisis and the confusion and the anti-God agenda. We can pray for the persecuted Christians, the persecuted church. The way that our brothers and sisters are suffering for the cause of Christ throughout the world, God can lay that on our hearts. May He lay that on our hearts to cry out to God for them in intercessory prayer. We have been given so much. We have been given so much freedom. And that will be highlighted if you take the tour at the Behalt, that how costly it was to live out your faith. Pray for the persecuted Christians. Pray for our church. There are opportunities and needs within our church for intercessory prayer. You may know of people that are in a crisis in their life. There are some. You may know of people that are wavering in their faith. People that have been abandoned. And I want to call on us to earnestly pray for Jeff. Jeff is one of us. He turned his life around and made an effort to follow Jesus. And the choices that he made and his addictions were so strong. And as much as he hates and detests the bondage he was in, he just could not overcome. So Jeff is now in Kentucky getting help. At first he didn't want to go, but he's glad he's there now. And let's really pray for Jeff. Pray that he can be strengthened and encouraged and remain faithful to God. Today he is faithful to God. Thank God, by God's grace. Jeff had an intercessor in his life that rescued him from the streets of what state was he in? He was living on the streets and ministering to him the way Jesus would. That's an intercessor as well. In the next 10 minutes, I would like to look at some pictures, and if you would, could you put the pictures that I gave you? And this is for New Vision for Life Children's Home. I took these pictures to bring back and share with you at some point, and I chose to do that this morning, of the children's home that, if you remember, Lloyd and Mary Ellen Esch were here and shared the need. And so I would like to go there and just show you, give you some updates, and show you some pictures of what it looks like. So we bought, at the time we were there, I think there were 565 children there. And we wanted to give them some treats, but they don't want sweets because the children's teeth, so many of them are bad. And now these children are brought here because they've been rescued or because they have been rejected. They come from war zones. They've seen their fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters get killed. Some of them have been, the parents were going to sell them into sex slavery, and they ended up here at New Vision Children's Home. So we wanted to bring them some treats. So we stopped at a market and bought 600 oranges, so we have enough for each child. And we had bought some snacks, five gallon tins full of little cookies, snacks, three of those, so they could have different amounts of them. And we went to visit the children's home. We weren't quite prepared to experience it. But I'm going to show you a few pictures here of the children. This is children coming through the line to get their goods, and thrilled and excited. They didn't have anything to put them in, so they would hold out their shirts for a little basket. Do you have the sound for that? And these children came through. It's okay if you don't. These children came through probably an hour is just an endless line of children lined up for, and they were, just to look in their eyes, it was just overwhelming. They so much want to soak up love, and that one is a little bit out of place, I see. Actually, let's go back and look at that one, and I'll just introduce what that one is. That one is, if you remember, when Lloyd and Mary Ellen were here, they talked about the need for something in the rainy season. They have, since here in the last year, they have built pavilions, they've poured concrete, they've cleaned up buildings, and there have been so many advances and in improvements made to the home. It's amazing what has happened there in the last year. And this building here is going to be a pavilion in a soccer court. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in the next pictures. These are some of the things that were put in here in the last year. Volleyball court and that pavilion, and I took a video just as the kids playing. They have volunteers that come in. They have volleyball coach that comes in now, as of just recently. Pastor James, a Thai pastor, is there 2 days out of three. 2 days out of five. He would love to be there 5 days a week. If there are more sponsors for Pastor James, he could be there more often. That's Lloyd and Mary Ellen's daughter. They have, two of their daughters have now moved to the camp, to the home, and are helping there full time. And this is back to the soccer field. This has been donated by Joe Heatwell, Better Life Coffee. And so when Lloyd and Mary Ellen were here, I guess that's really spoke to Joe. Joe's not here today to see it, but it's probably completed now. They'll have artificial turf, and they are pretty excited for that building to be completed. Now they can, during rainy season, it rains for 4 months, then they can't be out here playing volleyball, but they can be indoors, or at least under the shelter. Some more pictures of the children indoors, but their stories. Each of these nearly 600 now kids has a story of pain. And every one of those pain and trauma like probably none of us here know anything near about to the extent that they are facing. If you try to imagine 600 children, there are five volunteers at this point, five. During the day, government workers come in and they help with schooling and education. But at night, in the evening, there are five staff, I should say staff, playing. While we were there, and for I think 6 months, Plain Compassion has six or eight people there. This is a bathing area for the younger. There are about 200 kids that are too young to take their own showers or to bath themselves. So what happens is they will come and march through here, all these 200 kids, and there's not enough time to shower them all, so there's a volunteer that will grab that red dipper and then pour it over the kids, and the kids are undressed, so they'll pour it over the kids and they'll move on. Another kid will come and they'll pour water over the next one. It's not scrubbed. There's no soap. It's just they're watered down. That's the best they could do. However, the week we were here, they were going to start now. Caitlin and Abby were going to start teaching them how to bathe themselves. So you can see the water is not just sparkling clean. And I want to draw attention to this poor boy. If you want to look, if you could look at, I wish I could zoom it in, but look at his eyes. This boy was brought here just 5 days ago, 5 days before we were there. He was rescued from the war zone in Burma. He's all alone. Nobody knows what he saw, what he went through, where his family is. He just sat there. And as he sat there, the water started running out from his feet, between his legs, and running down the concrete. Often, while the kids were coming through the line to get their treats, you would smell strong urine smells on their clothes. Can you imagine what this little kid went through? That was, it's just, Maylawan is an intercessor. She sat there. We went in her office, and we asked her to tell us her story. And she told us her story about, she's been here now for 30-some years, but a journey of hardship, of pain, of prayer, of intercession, and rewards. And she was weeping, and she just had tears running down her face while she was telling us about her prayers and the goodness of God in her life. Even though her husband divorced her, she got saved. She was a Buddhist, strong Buddhist. She got saved. Her husband divorced her. She lost her son. And she's telling us how this home started by just a few, and then this was after she was saved. And people started bringing children and kept on bringing children. And she couldn't say no because she knows what happens to these children if there's no place for them to go. They'll go to the city and they'll be used. I took that picture while she was talking. There, at the onset, I think in the first 5 years, the government was going to close her down because of the conditions and facilities. And this couple came and gave her, and I don't remember how many baht, so she could build. They donated a large sum. And she was able to continue. She told us this story about, on the next picture, of, this was in 2019 when she was at a crisis. They were ready to close, to shut her down for good. And let me get my notes here. The government gave her 8 months to build new facilities so she didn't have to have class in the dorm area so the kids would sleep in the dorm during the day. They'd roll up the mats and then have school in the same area. And there were other conditions that were not acceptable. So she needed 12 million baht or to build the facilities she needed, or the government was going to shut her down. She cried out to God in prayer. Day after day, week after week, and month after month. And one day there was this couple, they're from Switzerland, and I'm going to call out their name, Werner and Lily Grissler. They are from Switzerland. They were driving through Thailand, probably from Chiang Mai, going to some destination about 2 or 3 hours from New Vision home. And it was raining, and they lost their way, trying to turn around, and they got stuck. They got stuck in Maylawan's driveway. So she put them up overnight, she helped them, she gave them directions, but in the meantime, they heard the story, they saw the need, and when they left, they gave her a check for 12 million baht, which comes to about 340,000 $340,000 or $350,000, and she is just weeping. She is just overjoyed because now the work can go on. There were times when they came to shut off her electricity. Someone came and provided payment for the electric. Just a year ago, she was sick, discouraged, in debt, $10,000 in debt for the food and supplies that she needed, because she operates on faith for a lot of this. The Thai government will give her, 5 baht, or 50 baht, which is about $2 per child per day, but that's only for the documented Thai children. So all the other undocumented, there are several hundred, she doesn't get any reimbursement for. So she has to make this money stretch. Well, it doesn't come close. So she gets food and supplies, rice, on credit and pays as she can. But a year ago, they were ready to cut her off, and she didn't know what to do. And that's when Lloyd and Mary Ellen found the camp. There again, camp. The home. And because of God's people sharing and giving, she's today debt-free and much more stress-free. Lloyd and Mary Ellen's daughters were so inspired by her prayer life that they wanted to join her in her prayer time. She gets up at 4 o'clock every morning and intercedes to God cries out to God on behalf of these children. They arrived there one morning just a few minutes late, and they found her in the room, and she was already weeping before God. And every day she will cry out to God. And it's the story, and the miracles that have happened are so many, so many. I know it's just hard to fathom. They now have a clinic there, a little room where they can give medical care to kids, and they're looking for a nurse to come. If you have any of you have interest in that, if you have nursing skills, they would be thrilled for your help and expertise. But there are children to see that the children whose eyes now, there are some there, they have hope, they're happy. This little girl, I just reached out spontaneously to give her a hug, and she just clung to me for minutes. And we don't know her story, but pray for Milawan. Intercede for the children that are in harm's way, and that for the children that they can be saved from going into trafficking. And so we'll close with that. You can pray for them. Pray for them much. But I wanted to share that from our travels, and it inspired me to the need for intercessory prayer, the great need for intercessory prayer. If you want to join me in intercessory prayer, let me know. I think with if there are others also involved in whatever your burden is, that can be helpful. The effective prayer of a righteous man has great power. So, with those thoughts, thank you for your attention and attentiveness, and for your prayers. You may stand, and we will close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have so many blessings, and there are so many needs that we're aware of, and sometimes we feel like there's so little we can do. Thank you that you've invited us to your throne of grace, and that you hear our prayers. And through this mystery of prayer and through the power of intercession, may your people rise in this age, in this time, in this land, in this culture, and in this church. May you hear our prayers and our cries as we offer our lives to you, a living sacrifice. And we just think of the kids and volunteers at New Vision. I pray, God, that your grace would be with them, that they could continue to thrive, to prosper, and that these kids can grow to be men and women of honor that can serve well in their land, in their country, in their communities, and that most of all, they could come to know you and make your name great. I ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Go and have a good week and enjoy the cold.